Good morning. We're reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 to 14. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the Queen Mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the craftsmen, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter of Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Amen.
Thank you very much, Moira, for reading that passage for us. These verses have been a great blessing to me as I read them over and over again. And I've had tremendous blessing as I've looked at them afresh and over the past couple of weeks been preparing for the service here. My father was a great letter writer. Every Saturday night he would sit down at the table with his pen and writing pad, and he would write home. He had left home to serve with the Cameron Highlanders, and he served in Burma. When he married, he set up home in Skye, not that far from his native Harris. But his writing was beautiful, and my cousin in Harris still has these letters to this day, and she's kept them, and she reads them over and over again. But the writing of letters is a thing of the past to a great extent. We've been overtaken by emails and other various ways of communicating to one another. But sometimes we do get the odd letter, and it's lovely to receive a letter. Sometimes a letter brings us bad news, but sometimes they come with encouragement and it's the bearer of glad tidings. As you know, the New Testament of our Bibles has many letters in it. We've got the letters of Paul, and we love them. We've got the letters of John, and we know that Peter, he wrote two letters. James also, he wrote one. And as we read the New Testament, we discover that it's mostly letter form. And we thank God for the instructions that we find contained in these letters. But when you come to the Old Testament, we sometimes forget that there are significant letters. And we've read from Jeremiah 29. And in this 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the Lord inspires Jeremiah to write a letter from Jerusalem to the people who are in exile in Babylon. In the year 597 BC, the king Jehoiakim, with all the leading politicians and spiritual leaders of the people, with skill and expertise, they were taken from Jerusalem and they were all removed to Babylon. So they took the heart of the nation of Israel to the center of the great empire of Babylon. In fact, it was said of these days that all that was left behind was the scum of the people to infest the streets of the capital. Jeremiah is so burdened about this. He's in Jerusalem, and he knows that all the expertise and all the talent and all the gifts had been exported to Babylon. And God teaches Jeremiah that if anything is going to happen in the nation that's worthwhile, it will happen in the nucleus of those who are in exile. So the Lord is teaching Jeremiah not to give up. And Jeremiah, he concentrates on the 18,000 people who are in exile. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes this letter coming from God. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Can you imagine the exiles receiving that letter? They're thousands of miles away. They're a defeated group. They're feeling so dejected and miserable and dispirited. And God says through his prophet, "You mustn't lose heart, because I have a future for you." I believe that this message is appropriate for God's people today. I believe that this message that was given so long ago to the exiles of Babylon is appropriate for my life and for your life today. Many of God's people have been discouraged during this COVID pandemic. Some of you have had to work while others have been in lockdown in their homes. But just as there's actually a great word of hope here in verse 11 for God's people in exile, there's also a word of hope for all of God's people, even for us this morning. And as we focus on verse 11, I want us to look at four things. There's God's plan, there's God's peace, there's God's provision, and there's God's promise. First of all, God's plan. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." If there's ever a time that we needed to be reminded that God has a plan, it's this year. It's right now as we begin to emerge from this pandemic. Someone has said that we're like ants crawling across a painting by Rembrandt. We crawl across the dark brown and we think all of life is dark brown. Then we hit green and think, "Oh, this is better. Now all is green." But then comes the dark blue, and then a splash of yellow, and a streak of red, and then another patch of brown. On we journey from one colour to another, never realising that God is actually painting a masterpiece in our lives, using all the colours of the palette. One day we'll learn that every colour had its place, had a reason. Nothing was wasted or out of place. Just as there's a time and a season for everything, there is also a colour for every stage of life's journey. When the painting is finished, and we'll discover that we were part of his masterpiece from the very beginning. Time is the canvas on which God does his painting, and eternity is the perspective from which we will see the beauty of his handiwork. God has a plan. History is his story. The slow outworking of God's plan across the years, the generations and the centuries. It is so much bigger than you and bigger than me that we can't begin to comprehend all that is contained within his plan. If we focus on our current troubles, we're likely to be discouraged, we're likely to be disheartened, confused, maybe even angry and frustrated and depressed. We will doubt the Lord and will be tempted to turn away from him. And many people have done exactly that. They've pondered their own suffering and the pain of the world around them, and that has caused them to give up in their faith. I was thinking of the words of William Cowper, a man who struggled mightily with depression and lived under a cloud for most of his life. And out of the suffering of this man's life comes one of our greatest hymns. We don't sing it that often nowadays, but its message stands the test of time because its truth is eternal. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs, he works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan his works in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. God has a plan. He had a plan for his ancient people, and he's got a plan for us today. But he also gives peace. And that's the second thing that we want to look at. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, a future and a hope. And I read from the ESV. The word welfare here is often translated peace. It's the one Hebrew word that all of us know, shalom. In the midst of a lifetime in exile, these Israelites that God is speaking to, he says he wants them to find peace. And this was the biggest need for the people in exile, was to get back home. They wanted to get back home, but they also needed to know the peace of God in their hearts and their lives. That's when they could have real peace, when they know the peace of God in their hearts and in their lives. And that's our biggest need today in this pandemic. It's not just for the pandemic to go away and to end, but to know the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. And in order to know that, we need to repent and to know the presence of God with us. placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and turning to Him alone for forgiveness. And that's where real and true peace is found. It's a lovely hymn that I was singing during the week as I listened to it on YouTube. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial strains of it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Where does that peace come from? It comes down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. But we also have God's provision here. We have God's plan and God's peace, and we have God's provision. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It's quite comforting for us to know that God doesn't just have a plan or offer peace, but that He's actually the one who provides that way for peace. God's people being in exile for 70 years certainly would grow weary if they had to try to find a way to get out of exile in their own strength and to get back home. Part of God's plan for peace for His people is that He will be the provider. Look at verse 10 again with me. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. It's very clear that God is the one who's going to bring them back out of exile and bring them back home to their homeland. And He will provide for them. Over these years, He has met their every need. But then we also have God's promise here. The plan of God, the peace of God, the provision of God, and the promise of God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When God's people were taken into exile, how jarring it must have been for them. They went from living in their beloved homeland, and now they're transported against their will to a place that they didn't want to go and they didn't even know. Where could they possibly turn for any comfort and hope? Well, they could turn to the same place that we can turn to today in these uncertain times that we're living in. These times that we never would have imagined we would have to go through a year ago. We can turn to the promises of God. And verse 11 leaves us no wriggle room to wonder if God is going to act. He's going to act for His glory and for the good of His people. This verse is a promise from God. And God makes us all sorts of promises that we can live with in this life, so that we can have a life of assurance and a life of shalom. And it's wonderful that we have God's word for these days. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And may we be able to stand on God's promises in these days in which we live.